Your Bible's the book of Isaiah, chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. And I want to begin reading in verse 5. Isaiah 46, beginning in verse 5. To whom will ye liken me? And make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like. They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove, yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. I like that. I do. That's good stuff. He starts it off, and these are the words of God spoken to Israel. Spoken to Isaiah, and from Isaiah through Israel, to Israel. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? There were people in Israel, making gods. Mm-hmm. And bow down and worship it. It's what it's written down here. That's what people used to do. And in some parts of this world, that's what they still do. Literally bow down to a stone idol or to a silver idol or a gold idol or something carved from a tree and call it God. Unfortunately, you go to most Baptist churches today, and you're going to find them preaching a God not from this book. And he doesn't compare. Walter and I, and some others, we've been there. Okay, the God that's preached in most Baptist churches, you can't compare it to this God right here. Because he tells you what he's like here. This is a reminder. Remember this. And show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Because believers are supposed to know this. Okay? Remember the former things of old, for I, God, and none else. If you want to leave those words out, it's fine. I, God, and none like me. And that's true. If you understand the truth, if you understand and know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know it's so. Mm-hmm. We came to find out where the place we were at before, that, and Henry Mahan, I remember, said it one time on a message. He said, they use the same words. They'll use grace. They'll use, we believe in grace, not works. Mm-hmm. And then they'll turn around and they'll preach works. And then I found out, like Henry said, he said they'll use the word grace, but they got a different dictionary than what I have. When I say grace, or when I think of grace, and they would say it, I would think of what I knew of grace. That God does what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. That's not what they thought. They thought, God's done all he can do, now you come on up here, make your profession. You know, Walter said, kneel at that little hump in the floor there, the altar they call it, you know. And Earl said, no, the altar's a place of sacrifice. You know, you may not want to go there. Death happens at an altar. But that's what they mean by grace. But after reading this, in a very real way, from God's point of view, now not from my point of view, from God's point of view, there are no such things as accidents.
Right.
Okay? A lot of people have trouble with this. But God has left nothing to chance.
Right.
His counsel shall stand. If he has purposed it, he will do it.
Yeah.
Now that's from the Lord's point of view. From God's point of view. From the point of view of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now from my point of view, that's a whole nother matter. Because sometimes, well, heck, most of the time, I don't know what's going on.
Right,
and that's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's a very familiar passage of Scripture that says, the secret things belong to God.
Right.
We have what he has revealed in his word, and that's enough for me to try to keep up with. Okay, I need help with that. I don't have to worry about the secret things. But this is the point of view from God. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And as I said, my point of view is very different. Any man's point of view is very different, and it is extremely limited. Christ's point of view is very distinct. What does it say? Declaring the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I remember Tim James said at one time, he said, from the beginning, he declared the end.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't stop there. Because that doesn't mean, as some people teach, and I have heard, that the middle's up for grabs.
Right.
You know, from the beginning, he declared the end. But now that middle, it's a little fuzzy. No, it's not. Okay, because he doesn't stop there. And from ancient times, the things that are not saying, my counsel shall stand.
Yeah.
And I will do all my pleasure.
Yeah.
Not part of it, not most of it, not some of it.
Right.
All my pleasure. And I like that too. Because one thing it meant for me was that it pleased God to bruise him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by his stripes, I was healed. That pleased God. And that was for my good. If Christ has purposed it, he will do it. And I believe this. And in a very real and a very personal sense, I know this to be true. It's not actually just, I mean, because you kind of get leery of using I believe the words. Because it has been thrown around for a couple of thousand years now, in a bad way. Because there are things that I actually know that I can't explain. I'll get to that in a minute. But there are such things in this universe as cause and effect. And that's what's revealed here. Scientists are very big on cause and effect, okay? And, well, use an example. If you light a fuse, which goes to a blasting cap, which is stuck into a stick of dynamite, okay? The cause is the lighted match or the lighter or whatever that lights the fuse. The fuse goes, that causes an effect the blasting cap pops, which causes another effect. That dynamite blows up. That's an effect. But you go back to the cause, it was the lighted match, or it was the fuse, or it was the blasting cap, depending on how you work at it. That's good science, okay? That is. However, and I got to thinking about this the other day. After Walter called, I turned on my television. In seeing and finding the fossilized remains of the bones of dinosaurs, that's an effect. Okay? Now, as to what the cause is, they go way afield. All right? I mean, they summarize, and this part's not too bad. They summarize, because there are no dinosaurs around now, that something killed them off. Okay, that's a good supposition. Okay, they're not here now. We've got bones of them. Okay, maybe they were around. Okay, that part seems logical. But you can't stop there. And they can't. They can't help themselves. Since we have dead dinosaurs, okay, it has been deduced, which means guessed, okay, that dinosaurs must have been brought into existence by the process of evolution. Therefore, because of that, stating being a cause of where dinosaurs came from, that must be where man came from. And it all leads back to a guess. That's all it is. Now, all I can claim to know personally is that there are fossils of bones from some creatures which actually do not seem to exist today.
Right.
Okay? That's all I can say about it as a fact.
Right.
Now, I do not know why they are still around today. I have absolutely no proof how these fossils ever came into existence. I can guess, but that's all it would be. Is a guess.
Right.
I can state by what I've read in this scripture that God purposed for men to find these fossils. And I can state that evolution is at best a guess. I can state that I do believe dinosaurs once actually lived and wandered around on this planet. But I can also state, if they did, Jesus Christ created them. Because I believe this: all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's John 1 and verse 3. I believe that. And that goes for man also. I can't prove it. What Henry said one time, Earl said it. I'm not in the proving business. I'm not in the explaining business. He says, I'm in the preaching business. I can't prove it. I'm not trying to prove it. Now, if you want to really get into it, I can get some severe logic and some books together, and we can pretty much prove that maybe evolution didn't happen, or put a really good argument against it. But see, evolution's a fact. I was watching them on, was one of the presidential debates or something, and they asked them as a line, do you believe in evolution? And one of them said, no, I don't even remember who it was. And buddy, there was a to-do about that. I mean, the comedians had a field day. We've got a president who says he doesn't believe in evolution. Because it's a fact in this world today. And outside of this room, okay, for most of your neighbors, even those that go to church, a lot of them believe that evolution is a fact. And it's not. I do know from this passage in Isaiah that this nonsense, and that's what it is, nonsense, which passes for facts in schools and then on television, it was purposed of God.
Right. Sure it was.
I know that God purposed for some people to get so wrapped up in dead fossils, and I've seen them on television, they will go to some God-awful places mm-hmm. and stay there for months mm-hmm. without indoor plumbing. They don't show that part on TV, okay? But I can tell. They're living in tents. You ain't got no indoor plumbing in tents. That's dedication. Trust me, I did that for 3 years when I was in the Army. And living in a pup tent is not fun. I mean, it can be an adventure and when you're young and your bones don't ache, basin, and your back don't go out on you. I mean, you know, and there's a camaraderie they have. But by gollies, that's dedication. But they'll dedicate their lives to finding them, digging them up, restoring them, all the while thinking they are furthering the cause of science, falsely so-called.
Yeah, right.
I've seen it. I've seen the work they put. I mean, I've seen them digging on some big old pieces of rock. And they brought in a helicopter to hook to this rock to turn it over because they thought there was a fossil of a Tyrannosaurus Rex family or something anywhere underneath it. I mean, it's a huge rock. They brought in a sky crane, hooked up cables to it, and flipped it over. There wasn't nothing there. But it was great TV. And that's what it was. Exactly. But they're proud of what they do. They're very pleased with what they do. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. There's no recognition of the purpose of God by these scientists. They do not even consider God as a cause. They've got their own causes for the effects that are out there. They do not remember Him as Creator, and they're wrong. I remember what got me thinking about Henry was this. I remember Henry gave a bit of his testimony on a tape one time. He talked about remembering when he was confronted with the purpose of God. He was at a meeting, and they had a fella in preaching, and I think he was assistant pastor at the time, and he was asked by the preacher, he was sitting in the front row, and the preacher asked him to quote Romans 8:28. And he quoted part of it. He quoted, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And I think he stopped there. And the fella, the preacher, quoted the rest of it very loudly. "To them who are the called according to His purpose." And then this fella yelled out, "Purpose! God does everything He does on purpose."
Yeah.
And that's a good definition of God.
Yeah.
It is. And Henry, of course, said that hit him hard. And I hope so. I hope it hits a lot of other people hard.
Yeah.
This statement that God does everything He does on purpose has been backed up by Isaiah, Solomon, and the Apostle Paul. In Ecclesiastes is where Solomon wrote of, "There's a time for every purpose under heaven." Paul wrote, "All things work together for good to them that love God, them that are the called according to His purpose." And Isaiah's, this end of this chapter is full of the purpose of God. And this is important, especially in our day, because we are surrounded by a multitude that preach, teach, and believe that the purposes of God fail every day. And I've heard them stand up here and say, "This is one of the purposes of God which won't come true." That's a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie.
Okay? But I've heard them say that from a pulpit. "This is one of the purposes of God that will not come true." Read that to me from the scripture. Well, see, it's because they're giving purposes to God that God never gave to us in this book. That's why they say that. Because to them, God has failed in a purpose. But that's not what this says. I will do all my pleasure. I've purposed it. And actually, if you look at that word, you can actually, if you want to, I have formed. I have formed it. I've made it. I will also do it. My counsel shall stand. There are those that teach that God purposed to save every single person. That Jesus Christ shed his blood for all men. That's a lie. That's one of the purposes they say will fail, because some people have to go to hell. I mean, everybody knows that. Isaiah states it plainly. If God has spoken it, he will bring it to pass. If God has formed it, he will also do it. There's nowhere in Scripture teaching that God's purpose was to save everyone.
Right.
You won't find that in Scripture. The one Scripture they go to says he is long-suffering toward us.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I still haven't found out what version that fellow was reading from where he said, where it changed the word and left out us. But there's a version out there. But he says he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. He's not long-suffering to everyone. He's long-suffering to us. So unless you're willing to wrest the Scriptures to your own destruction, you won't find it in the Scriptures. These preachers and followers, they think that God's purposes are like fate, human fate or destiny. I was watching a movie the other day. I talked to Walter about this movie, and I finally saw the end of it. I'd seen pieces of it three or four times, and I kind of wished I hadn't, but I did see the end of it. And it was about a fellow who got all wrapped up in a situation, and he just about drove himself insane. And at the end of the movie, his wife and his son help him out and help him to regain some semblance of sanity, such as it is. And it stopped him from doing this horrible deed. And it was a happy ending. Okay? So at the end, he's hugging his wife and he's hugging his kid. And he says, "You guys saved me from my destiny." Okay. All right. Now, I understand you don't use the Webster's Dictionary as a interpretive tool for the Scripture. Let's put it that way. But you can use Webster's Dictionary for the way you talk. Okay. The word destiny means this is where you're going to end up. Okay. The word fate means this is where you're going to end up. Okay. So evidently it was his destiny, by definition, to not do this horrible deed. Okay? Nobody gets saved from their destiny. Nobody gets saved from their fate. Nobody stops the purpose of God. But that's what they think about it. I've purposed it. I will also do it. He told them, "To whom will ye liken me and make me equal?" Well, there's another scripture that reads, "You thought I was altogether such a one as yourselves." And that's what people think. That's the way preachers interpret Scripture. They interpret it as they think it in their fleshly minds. And that's the way Hollywood interprets it. That's why you have the end of time bandits. When they confront God and they say, "Why do we have to go through all this stuff?" They say, "Well, it's got something to do with free will." Because that's another fact. And I like the part about that. Well, I think that was the same movie. The little boy comes back home. There's a toaster oven. And there's a black rock appears up in it. His parents are there. And he says, "Don't touch it. It's evil." And both of them reach their finger right over and touch it and blow up the house. quick. There's your free will for you. It's got something to do with free will. You're going to touch that stupid rock. Don't touch it. It's evil. Grab it. I have purposed it. I will also do it. From the beginning, he declared the end.
Yes, he did.
Now, what has God purposed? What has God brought to pass? What has God done? I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off. And my salvation, it's God's salvation, shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. God's purpose in the work, in the life, in the being of the Lord Jesus Christ will be done. And 2,000 years ago, actually, it was done. He hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished."
Yeah.
He prayed, "Father, I finished the work thou gavest me to do." Mm-hmm. And he did. I have purposed it. I will also do it. My salvation shall not tarry. That's what God has purposed. And that's what God has done. He has provided salvation for his people. Our Father, we're thankful to be here in this